Meeting of Sylvania City Council for March 18th, 2013, to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Lukey?
Here.
Mr. Milner?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Here.
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Ms. Capellini?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. I welcome all of our visitors to our meeting this evening. It looks like there still are a few copies of the agenda on the two side tables by the doors, if you need a copy of that. If there's a question you have or an issue you would like to address council on, please let me know by raising your hand and I will recognize you at an appropriate time. With that, I invite you to join in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mrs. Hussman.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Under additions to the agenda, I would like to add as the last agenda item, whatever that number turns out to be, an executive session to discuss the possible sale of real estate and a report on litigation, ongoing litigation. I don't have any other agenda items to add. Mrs. Westfall?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Members of City Council?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hanem?
I'd like to add a consideration of ordinance number 2-2013. And I guess I'd like to add that after the executive session.
Okay, can you refresh our memory of what that ordinance?
That's the sign code.
That's the sign code, okay. Yeah, that would be appropriate after the executive session. Any additional items from members of City Council? Seeing none, Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schreier?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mo?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So, Mr. Mayor, just to clarify, so the executive session will be item 17 and the sign code, item 18?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as amended, is that correct? You have both down?
Second, no, not.
Oh, okay, now we do for sure. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved as amended. Item number four is approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting on March the 4th. Mrs. Westfall?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that.
Mary, yeah, I do have one correction on page 3 at the top. Mr. Hanem reported on the review of the proposed ordinances as opposed to Mrs.
I didn't see Pam here.
She wasn't here.
Did she put words in your mouth?
She's done that before, but not on this occasion.
Mrs. Westfall?
Yes, Mr. Milner.
I'm down as absent, and according to my calendar, I was here.
You were, it was Mr. Brown that was absent.
Aha!
They're frequently confused.
Yes, yes. The bronze, Mr. Brown.
Well, you were listed as both present and absent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see, okay, yeah.
I move.
I'm phasing in and out.
I move that the Journal of Minutes of the March 4th, 2013 meeting of Sylvania Council be approved as amended.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes for March 4th, 2013 be approved as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the meeting minutes are approved. Agenda item 5 is proposed resolution 4-2013. This council has a tradition of recognizing all state champions, and we did have a repeating state champion this year with the Southview Cougarettes going to the state cheerleading and dance team championships. They brought back a first place finish in Palm and Jazz. And we traditionally do recognize these, and we all have this resolution to do that. Is there a motion, Mrs. Westfall?
So, if I had a motion, I just move that we accept it, or?
You need to read the title.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Resolution Number 4-2013. All members of council having received it in advance, I'll read by title only. A resolution of the Council of the City of Sylvania commending Sylvania Southview High School's Cougarettes dance team on its first place finishes in the POM and Jazz divisions in the Ohio Association of Secondary School Administrators State Cheerleading and Dance Team Championship, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
It's been moved and seconded that Resolution Number 4-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Resolution Number 4-2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Resolution 4-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Resolution 4-2013 is approved. It looked for a little while like we might have another one of these for the Northview hockey team. Unfortunately, they came up just a little short, but they deserve our congratulations as well for going as far in the tournament as they did. With that, let's move on to Agenda Item 6. Both Agenda Items 6 and 7 are notifications of liquor control license transfers. The first is for the transfer of a D5 liquor license at 7625 Sylvania Avenue. And I believe these are for the one of the restaurants, the sports bar up next to the Kroger. Is that correct, Jim?
I believe so.
One of them is coming in from 1540 West Sylvania. See, that's a little bit confusing, but it is going to 7625. So they're bringing a new liquor license out to that address, is my read on that.
That's correct.
There's no comments.
Chief? Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Basically, this is your simple transfer of a liquor license from the one location, Toledo, to out here at Sylvania Avenue. As always, the police department runs a records check on all the parties interested. Having calm done, we are comfortable in recommending to council not to hold a hearing to contest this.
In fact, the law director reminds me that this is one that we contemplated allowing as an economic development issue transfers from Toledo to Sylvania. So we've already acted on this once. Since the chief didn't have any concerns worthy of a local hearing, is that correct, Chief? Or did you want a local hearing? And I would recommend a motion not to request a local hearing.
So moved.
Second.
And moved and seconded not to request a local hearing on this liquor permit transfer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Agenda Item 7 is also a liquor permit transfer notification from the Ohio Division of Liquor Control. This one is for Ralphie's, and it looks like it's just staying in the same building, but they're changing it from Bennett Enterprises doing business as Ralphie's to Bennett Enterprises. Not Ralphie's. Must be a legal reason for that. Maybe it's an insurance reason. Chief, any issues on this one?
No, Mr. Mayor, as usual, you know, we conduct our records check on this party interested in this. Having found none, we're very comfortable in recommending to council not to request a hearing for Monday.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're requesting that there not be a hearing for the transfer of this liquor license.
Second.
Moved and seconded not to request a local hearing for this liquor license from Bennett Enterprises to Bennett Enterprises. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. On to Agenda Item 8. This is a report from the service director about a proposed sanitary sewer on Arbor Way and the survey work necessary to do it. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the residents of Arbor Way, excuse me, between Silvertown Drive and Blanford Road, have come to the city for two separate issues. The first being requesting annexation into the city, and that process has begun. It was filed with the county last week, I believe. And they also requested that sanitary sewer be installed. And so we're ready to move forward with that project. It is our intent to design that project in-house. We will not be using consultants for that project. The one item that we do need to utilize outside sources for is the survey work. And then when we receive that work from the firm, then we'll take the project from there. We requested proposals from three different local companies on the project, and Lee Wendowski provided a cost proposal of $4,240. We've done previous work with the company, and they've done a lot of work around town, and we would recommend entering into an agreement with Lee Wendowski Engineers for the survey services.
All right, this is, there's also an annexation that goes along with this. I think it'd be appropriate to hear from Mr. Ramon what the current status of the annexation proceedings are.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, as Mr. Aller indicated, an annexation petition was filed last week. As of today, we have not yet received the official notice from Lucas County Commissioners, but in checking with them, they have set a hearing date for May 21st at 1:30 in the afternoon in the County Commissioners' room. That is the date upon which the hearing would be held. There's not much that is going to be done in the short term from the city's standpoint. Once we receive the official notice, and within no later than 20 days prior to the hearing, the city is obligated to provide a resolution indicating what services are available to homeowners that wish to be annexed into the city. We've done that for every annexation. It's a statutory requirement. Things such as garbage service, police protection, water, sewer, those types of things. And so we'll be coming back to City Council with that probably in the next 30 days. But that will be just a standard requirement for an annexation. The rest of it is really handled not by City Council, but by the property owners and the representatives.
One question. Wouldn't it be prudent for us not to spend any money until we are 100% sure that the Lucas County Commissioners are going to approve the annexation into the city?
Well, I think I may want to kick that back to Kelvin. I think the requirement, the request from the property owners is that they want to be annexed into the city, and they wish to have a sewer installed. They're not necessarily identical in purpose. Kevin, what's the process that you're going to be using for establishing the sewer district and collecting on it?
Yeah, the sanitary sewer request is a separate issue in that if the annexation for some reason wouldn't go through, we would still provide sanitary sewer service to Arrow Way. It's in the city's sanitary sewer service area. So we would provide that service regardless if it gets annexed or not. So it is the intent, all the costs of that project, and the residents that have come in requesting service are fully aware that the cost of the project will be assessed to the property owners, 100% of the cost. So it's a net cost of zero to the city because it will be recouped through the assessment process.
All right. This is fairly new to us, Mr. Aller, that you're going to prepare the drawings in-house. You obviously have the expertise in-house to do it, and the time, it's not a large project, but it still takes time. The surveyor will prepare the drawing that shows all the utilities and all the structures, and you'll just be drawing the sewer for final day, so.
Correct.
All right.
I believe, Mr. Mayor, this is one of the benefits that we were told we'd be getting. We hired the assistant service director, so it's nice to know that that's actually coming.
County sanitary engineer, assistant county sanitary engineer.
Right.
So what's the schedule for the sewer installation and the anticipated schedule for the annexation? I know they're not linked. I'm just, those are two different questions directed to two different people.
Your construction timeframe?
The construction timeframe, I'm open to be able to, because of the public hearing process with the assessment process and all of that, but I'm hoping to possibly be in the construction this fall.
And the question directed to the other one?
The timing for the completion of the annexation.
Well, the annexation, well, that depends upon how the hearing goes on May 21st. Anticipating a hearing where the county commissioners approve the petition, the matter has to ultimately pass a 30-day period. Council has to ultimately vote to accept the property in. That would take place during the summer. I can't give you a date. Sometimes hearings are delayed or continued, but this is one that I would think is rather straightforward. So I don't imagine there'd be a whole lot of reasons to have a split or prolonged hearing.
And when, are we aware of any opposition to the annexation by the residents on Arbor Way?
I do not know of any.
By those that will be affected by it directly?
It is not a unanimous annexation, but it's in the 70 to 80% signature range. There's a bank, there's an owner, and one family that said that they're not opposed, but they just haven't signed. So I don't know of any property owners within the affected territory. As you know, under the new annexation, new now meaning 8 or 9 years old,
right.
Neighbors in the area and the county and the township trustees have the opportunity to comment as well.
But we're not forcing this annexation on anybody that we know of who are residents of this area who are not interested.
That is true.
Thank you.
Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 29-2013. All members of council previously receiving copies, I'll read by title only. Accepting the proposal of Lewandowski Engineering to provide survey services relative to the Arbor Way Sanitary Sewer Project. Appropriating funds, therefore, in an amount not to exceed $4,240, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 29-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, ordinance 29-2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 29-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 29-2013 is approved. For the benefit of the students here tonight, that was a two-motion process to pass that ordinance in one sitting, one council meeting. The first ordinance is to read by title only. That's as opposed to read the ordinance in its entirety, which is what our charter originally said we needed to do because it was not widely available with Xerox copies or the internet. And the second part of that first motion was to waive the second and third readings. That's another requirement that ordinances be read two extra times at two separate council meetings so that we could make sure everybody knew what was going on. However, council is allowed to pass a motion waiving the second and third readings and reading by title only. The second motion that council made to pass as an emergency measure is to allow the motion to be passed at a single council meeting rather than having it at a second and a third meeting. And they can do that with a supermajority of council, having five members vote for it. Most council business takes place on that level, that there's agreement, there's not controversy, and the more discussion isn't necessary. We've got a few more ordinances tonight that you can listen to that process as well. There are a few pieces of city business that require us to do three full meetings in order to pass something. Or if it's something still under review, we might have the first reading and go on to the second and third meetings. So with that, let's go on to agenda item nine. We have another ordinance proposed in here, but this has to do with the Sprint cell tower lease on top of our existing water tower behind us here to the west in Burnham Park. Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. 15 plus years ago, in 1997, we entered into an agreement with Sprint Spectrum to allow them to put antennas on our Burnham Park elevated tank. So that agreement expired at the end of 2012, and since then, actually prior to its expiration, we were negotiating with Sprint for the new terms of the next 15-year agreement. We brought to you tonight the agreement that we think is fair and favorable for the city. During those negotiations, we were able to increase the starting payment, if you will. In 2012, we ended with a payment of $2,997 a month. We increased that payment to almost $3,337 a month, which amounts to an annual receipt of over $40,000 in rental costs, if you will, for their antennas. That amount will increase by 3% for the first 10 years. It's in five-year segments. It'll increase 3% for the first 5 years. If both parties agree to continue, it'll then increase at 3% for the next 5 years. And then again, if both parties agree to continue, it'll increase at 5% each year for the last 5 years of the 15 years. We also negotiated, it was in the original agreement, that they would pay for half the cost of repainting the water tower up to a maximum of roughly about $27,000 in that original agreement. We increased that amount to a little over $41,000 as part of the agreement. I did a lot of calling, a lot of internet checking, did some checks on the FCC website, and I believe that we have a fair agreement. We're doing quite well compared to some other communities, and I would recommend approval of the agreement.
Jeff, what's Exhibit B? Because it's not attached.
Exhibit B is our drawings of the antennas. Basically the site should be on there.
It says Exhibit B, it says C attached, and I don't think it's attached to our copy anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll make it a part of the official record copy, and that would make sense. Exhibit A is the description of the property, and Exhibit B would be a diagram of the property.
Exhibit B is a diagram of the property and the facilities that they're permitted to attach.
Right. I think, as I recall, in the course of this 15-year period, Sprint, the original diagram, they were entitled to put a certain number of units up there. And my guess is this Exhibit B now matches the number of antennas that are presently up there. The first one allowed for more antennas on the band. My guess is that it just has the, we'll check, but I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. The first diagram didn't have all the antennas up on it, but permitted it.
So this is an amendment to the original agreement in
97.
97.
Yes.
And Exhibit A to that is, because I was looking for Exhibit A, I didn't see it. I see it referenced in here. Okay,
right.
So this is a...
See, one of the exhibits would show the footprint of the on the ground of where the facilities would be. The other one is a diagram of the structure that's on the tower. And without checking, you caught me a little bit off on that. I think that you'll find that the first exhibit doesn't have all the antennas on the band. That's what probably does.
So the original term was for 15 years?
3 5-year, yes. And that's expired.
And that expired on December 15th?
Correct.
So this extends this by another 15 years?
Correct.
Does this have... We've looked at these before.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who else did we do this with?
Do this with?
Who else did we lease cell tower? Was it Verizon?
We have two up there.
Today, I believe it's in the name of T-Mobile. They changed so often. But today, I believe it's in the name of T-Mobile.
It's just T-Mobile? That's the one we looked at a couple of years ago?
Yes.
And does it have the, I would really like to read, I'd like to read Exhibit B. I would rather have an opportunity to read, I'd like to see the underlying agreement here. I didn't like the last one, as you all know. So if you want to go ahead and do this, you can go ahead and do this. But I didn't like the last agreement that we did with T-Mobile. I suggested some changes to that agreement, which we ultimately didn't do. So I'm curious about what's in this one. I've reviewed these before in other roles than as counsel, but...
Is there any sensitivity, time sensitivity in this stuff?
From our perspective, I don't think so. From theirs, the lease has expired, so that they're anxious to get it executed. Kevin has done a very good job as far as the terms, the dollar terms. We did a lot of looking to see how we compared to everyone else. We stack up quite well. The underlying language is certainly something we can look at again. I don't think they'll be disappointed that we're waiting another session, but I don't think that that's going to cause any consternation. They've waited long. They're anxious to get it signed from knowing that they can be up there. So I don't think there's a problem continuing it.
Been expired for 3 months.
I know.
So what's
that's because we've been doing some research and just didn't want to execute it yet. So another council meeting would not be a problem.
I'd appreciate that. Well, we haven't moved adoption of it. We could just, I don't know.
Well, motion to table, it takes 4 votes. There's somebody makes a motion.
Or you can refer it to a committee. You can refer it to the zoning committee if you want.
You could, or we could table it. And I just want to see the agreement. Anybody
which
else?
Is fine also. Just table it for further examination.
I move to table ordinance number 30-2013 with the anticipation that we will call back for a vote at our next council meeting.
Second.
I moved and seconded to table proposed ordinance 30-2013 until our next meeting in 2 weeks. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Question I had when we were doing this is, have we had any interest on our new water tower? Because we are putting the rails up there necessary for that. And the service and law directors report to me that no, we haven't. Maybe when it's done, we will. But the difference is there's already a cell phone tower very close by out there at the Democratic Club, and there may not be as much need out there as there was in the center of town where a site was not available. But we'll continue. That's available, and structurally, it's ready. It'll be ready for it. Okay, let's move on to page 2 of our agenda. Item 10, this is Safe Routes to School. Mr. Hanum, nice call. He wanted us to send down there and ask for the money. Well, they got to send us half of it back.
That's great.
We appreciate your direction to do that, but let me go to Mr. Aller for what we're doing now as a result of that.
Yes, we approved the change order at the February meeting. When I sent ODOT their copy of that change order, I asked, you can see the letter on the back of 10A, I basically asked them to consider increasing the grant amount. The changes were due to their material changes in requirements, and that we did not change the scope of the project at all, and that all of the costs associated with this change order were due to their, were due to their changes and not ours. The original project, we get 80% grant funded, and they did that, participate in this change order to that degree, but then we did get just over 50% of the amount that they agreed to. So the amendment that you have before you is basically accepting amendment number one with our local public authority agreement. And we, of course, would recommend approval and receiving an additional $18,000 in grant funds.
Good work.
Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 31-2013. All members of council previously receiving copies, I'll read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance of the city of Sylvania, Ohio, to approve amendment number one to this city's agreement with the Ohio Department of Transportation relative to the Safe Routes to School project, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 31-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage. Ordinance number 31-2013.
Second. Been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 31-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 31-2013 is approved. Now, more information for the student attendees tonight. The person, the member of council that I go to read a particular ordinance is based on that member's committee chairmanship. There are 8 standing council committees, and we normally go to that, the chairman of that committee, to read ordinances here at the council table. Just going around the council table, starting with Mr. Lukey over here, he is chairman of our community relations and employee relations committee. Mr. Milner is chairman of our streets committee. Mrs. Hussman is building and grounds. Mrs. Westfall is the president of council and therefore is the chairman of finance, but is also the chairman of the safety committee. Mr. Brown is chairman of utilities. Mrs. Capellini is chairman of parks and forestry. Mr. Hanum is chairman of annexation and zoning. Those are our 8 standing committees. With that, we're going to move on to agenda item 11, which is a report about Erie Street Bridge number 122 replacement. Mr. Aller, you're a busy man.
It's that time of season. Construction season's coming. The Erie Street Bridge number 122 is the bridge just west of Highland Meadows Golf Course, right in the neighborhood of Little Farms Court. Yeah, Little Farms Court. The project drawings are complete and been reviewed and approved by both the deputy service director and myself. It will replace the existing twin culverts that are in place with a new 3-sided box culvert and also have a short section of water main replaced to get it away from the bridge. It was hoped that we would not have to relocate that water main, but it's still required due to the location of the wing walls. That work is still being done. The estimated cost of the project is $551,155. We're receiving $264,554 of that in grant funds from Ohio Public Works Commission, and the county engineer is providing an additional $40,200 in cash, as well as performing the inspection services on the project as an in-kind service. No cost to us of the project. So I would request that the clerk of council be authorized to advertise for bids for Cleary Street Bridge number 122 replacement.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Milner.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to authorize the clerk to advertise for bids for Erie Street Bridge number 122 replacement. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the clerk is authorized. Mr. Milner.
Quick question, Mr. Mayor, for Mr. Auer. What do you suspect the timeframe for this project to work to commence?
The Marathon Classic golf tournament ends on July 21st. We are going to give that operation 3 days for their large trucks to be able to utilize the Erie Street, Centennial Road, Central Avenue route to get out of town. We were initially going to start the day after the tournament. And once we took a look at a low belly trailer and the Monroe Street crossing, we were concerned as to the ability of those trucks to be able to cross those tracks. So we're going to hold off the construction of that bridge for 3 days. Highland Meadows Golf Course has been informed to that, and they're going to push their vendors and let them know that they have to be off-site in those 3 days, and then construction will begin July 25th.
And what do you expect the time frame, the total length of the project?
45 days.
45 days.
45 calendar days.
Kevin, will we be doing that in conjunction with the Monroe Street project?
Monroe Street will be done at the same time. I plan on bringing that project to you at the next council meeting for authorization to advertise. And that project will begin July 22nd. It has a 60-day construction period.
Oh, boy.
This schedule does take you into the start of the school year.
Yes, unfortunately, with the timing of the Marathon Classic this year, we couldn't avoid that. We had the option of doing this bridge replacement prior to the Jamie Farr, but excuse me, the Marathon Classic. But if something goes wrong, we would have impacted that golf tournament to a great degree, and so we're doing it afterwards.
I believe, Mr. Aller, one member of council will have her daily commute affected by this project, and she will be inspecting it daily.
It will be with two construction projects going on at the same time, and obviously the traffic affected in the same area. It will be a rough 45 to 60 days, but it was deemed, I believe that to be better than affecting, 120 days for the course of everything. So difficult, yes, but short term.
Mr. Aller, are you putting in place a plan, a strategy to make sure that residents have significant notification, signage, or whatever would be appropriate?
Yeah, we'll be putting in place, as soon as the project is bid and the contractor is selected, they'll be putting signs up as to traffic, maintenance of traffic issues and what the detours are going to be and things of that nature. We're hesitant on putting too much up because with the Marathon Classic going on, we don't want people to get confused. So it will be somewhat limited, but we are going to try to notify the area residents and that sort of thing.
That's exactly what piqued my interest, though. And my question is, it will be confusing at that time with it starting the next day, notifying the residents without confusing the guests.
The plan is to put the signs and the notices up for the week and a half to 2 weeks prior to the tournament, and then when the tournament starts, get those covered up or turned off and not out.
As a reminder, too, council will remember several years ago we had that huge project on Main Street that caused a lot of problems, and we made the capital investment of buying the portable electronic sign. Which is very good at times like this to help motorists seek alternative routes.
I think that this project will also set the timing for our second Country Journal to go out in the mail. All right, moving on to agenda item 12. You have the service director's report and a copy of the proposed building rehabilitation standards prepared by the U.S. Department of the Interior. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We've been talking for some time on downtown, what our downtown is, what we want our downtown to be, and what the project will be in order to accomplish that. One of the requirements in the downtown revitalization grant package is that anyone that receives that grant has to have the Secretary of the Interior's rehabilitation standards in their rehabilitation requirements. Our zoning code does not currently include those guidelines, and some of those standards have been incorporated in, but they did not specifically state that they have been incorporated. And that is a requirement of the grants that we're pursuing. So we're requesting that we consider adding that language to the proper places in the zoning code so that when we do pursue those grants, it won't preclude us from being eligible. So at this point, I'm requesting that addition.
Okay. Well, what are you proposing, that we amend our zoning code or add a code and add a provision in the zoning code that incorporates these by reference?
I think I haven't talked with Mr. Mona a lot on it, but I think the simplest thing to do is just to add it to the downtown overlay district code. Just add it to that code that the secretary.
So we add these pages to the code?
You do not have to have the whole document. You just have to state that you will include the recommendations in that document as part of your downtown standards, as part of your rehabilitation standards. The whole document does not need to be included, just that you're going to incorporate the standards into any improvements made.
Jim, have you looked at this?
I've not looked at them. The process would be consistent with what we did with the property maintenance code a number of years ago when we incorporated it by reference. Although we made some specific alterations to that at the time that we adopted it. So I guess it'd be best to refer this to your committee. I'm not sure there's best for.
Okay, well, we can refer this to the Annexation and Zoning Committee with the understanding that we need some proposed legislation so we know what we're talking about.
I will be happy to work on that.
So I would move that we refer the incorporation of necessary building and rehabilitation standards to the Annexation and Zoning Committee for further consideration with the additional input from the administration on appropriate proposed legislation.
Second.
And moved and seconded that the building rehabilitation standards required for downtown improvement grants be referred to the Zoning and Annexation Committee for further study, and that legislation be prepared for their review as well. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and that those standards are referred.
Do we want to, Jim, how long do we want before we schedule a meeting to talk about this?
I think we have a little bit of time. This is really through Bill's efforts to right. Take some state funding, and I'm not sure that's imminent. But I think progression over the next number of months should be fine. Bill?
I think the one application, if we choose to go after it, the deadline is in June. So we would have it in. It would have to be placed before then, June 21st.
Yep. Oh, well, that's pretty tight. Because we, to do this.
Kick it back to you.
Because to do this, if we have to amend our zoning code, we have to refer it to the Planning Commission for a hearing, and then we have to have a 30-day notice on a hearing.
Right.
So,
or go ahead and refer to the Planning Commission tonight. But the Planning Commission doesn't meet until the second Wednesday in April, after your next meeting.
Can we do that prior to having legislation to refer to them?
Why don't we schedule a zoning and annexation? I don't think the legislation will be that complex. It's a question of whether or not we want to make, you know, or do we want to adopt it or not.
Can we...
You can wait till the next meeting because you meet again before the Plan Commission.
Right, couldn't we meet before our, I know Mike has something he wants to meet with before the 1st as well. We have a meeting on March 1st, right? I mean, April 1st, even though it is April Fool's Day, perfect day for legislation. can we do that?
We can do that.
Okay. Mike, what, you wanted to schedule what?
Well, the Bongi River Wastewater Treatment Plant, that.
Right.
If they have all their information together, I think that meeting would probably be a half an hour meeting.
Yeah, so maybe we could meet it. I'm thinking.
Meet at 6, and you could meet at 6:30, because I think yours is going to take a little bit longer than mine.
Does that sound good?
I will not be here on the 1st.
Wow. I'll be out of town, too, but I've looked at these before, and this is a long time coming, and I'm like, I already know I like these.
If we wanted to pick the Friday before or the week after, that would be fine, too.
Okay.
Sometime before then.
What about the Friday before?
That's really the
like I, or the Thursday?
Oh.
Possibly.
Is the 29th Good Friday?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so the meeting on the 1st is the week of school spring break, right?
Right.
Exactly.
You can tell my kids all go to college or are gone. Yeah. All right. Well, is there? Could we meet on the morning of the 28th?
Yes.
Hold it. Meeting of the 27th?
Sorry?
Can we meet on?
Let me ask a question.
Yes.
I think with Friday typically involves going to church in the afternoon. Is it a little morning meeting on the 29th?
I might not be there on the 29th.
I'm gone early on the 29th.
I'm feeling we're running the same schedule.
Mm-hmm.
We already have a meeting scheduled for the 27th.
So. Well, that's a...
I know, maybe we could do it after that, maybe.
Or maybe we could do the zoning meeting, the annexation zoning meeting at 8 on the 27th. And
you know, can I ask a question? Why,
sure.
Why can't we just do it earlier that week? Can we do it on the 25th?
I can't. I'm unavailable on the 25th and 26th. I'm available the 27th, 28th, or 29th in the morning. I'd rather do it in the morning. Do you have any time?
I can do it on the 29th, but these guys aren't here.
Oh, yeah. You can't do the 27th or 28th. Okay. We probably need to take some action on the 1st.
We will have legislation. Leslie can be available, and I would be available.
Maybe you could prepare some legislation, and you and I could talk about it before.
Perhaps
and then,
on the 27th when we're dealing with that other issue.
So let's go back to the 1st.
That's right.
And we'll plan on a zoning and annexation meeting at 6:30 on the 1st. Katie, are you on annexation and zoning?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're gone.
I'm gone.
But I got your input.
Like I said,
I'm sure, I haven't read it.
I've already been through this. I know I like it, and I hope that you like it, too.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll meet in council chamber. Great.
That evening, we'll have a
referral to the planning commission on the agenda.
Yep. And we want to schedule the public hearing that night. And actually, schedule a public hearing before that. Schedule, send it to zoning and annexation, we get it back. If you could schedule, you think we're going too fast, Jim?
Well, as long as we reach the deadline of the 21st to get a submission, I think the council meeting in June would be to ultimately resolve it in a public hearing at that time.
So we probably want to schedule a public hearing for prior to our first meeting in June.
Correct.
June 3rd.
That's June 3rd. So let's plan on scheduling a public hearing.
You've got the second, you can do that the second. You've got all of April and the first part of May to do that. So you can do the second meeting in April.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
All right, I think we're ready to proceed. The building revision standards have been referred to the Zoning Annexation Committee. So let's move on to agenda item 13, which is the service director's report on the Maumee River wastewater treatment plant debt that is coming due from the city of Sylvania. This was discussed at the Finance Committee meeting before council, and perhaps it's appropriate to report on that. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We did discuss this particular information during our Finance Committee meeting, and we made a decision that we would like to make a recommendation to refer this particular item, the Maumee River Wastewater Treatment Plant debt, to the Utilities Committee. So I move that we do that.
Second.
And moved and seconded to refer the issue of the Maumee River Wastewater Treatment Plant debt to the Utility Committee to review the payment necessary and the current level of reserves in the sanitary sewer treatment or sanitary sewer fund. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Brown, do you want to set that Utility Committee meeting?
Yeah, I'd like to set the utilities meeting for April 1st at 6 o'clock.
Hearing no concern with that, and understanding that there are a few members of council that are going to be absent that night. Mrs. Capellini, you said you're not going to be there that night. Any other councilmen that will not be available April the 1st? Then council will still be able to do business. That's good. If there's no concern, we'll have the clerk post that meeting for 6 o'clock on April the 1st.
Thank you.
Let's move along then to agenda item 14. These are reports from last week's Planning Commission meeting about the two referrals to them, the first being Ordinance 24-2013, amending the accessory buildings and uses. This was to address the storage of boats and RVs on property lines. And you can see in the report that came back from the Secretary of the Municipal Planning Commission that the Planning Commission recommends that these changes be approved. But listening to comments that came in during that meeting, there are two additional things that we recommend be considered by City Council and see if you want to do anything about them. One of them was brought to us by a resident concerning storing a boat or an RV on a corner lot, which is when you have a front, you have a corner lot, one of the streets is the front lot, one's the side lot, and she's concerned that that's really the frontage along another street. You may want to consider that with the understanding that if you do make that determination, they won't be able to store it on those lots at all. There just isn't space. And the second is that an issue was brought to the Plan Commission's attention about the long-term or permanent storage of an old and perhaps unsightly RV, that's all in the eyes of the beholder. And I'm sure we recommend that that person come back to the public hearing as well and discuss that. He was proposing that the storage of all RVs and boats be outlawed in the city of Sylvania, and I said I was unwilling to recommend that back to you. We need to try to find some language that would address the permanent storage of older or not maintained RVs and boats on properties. That's really not the issue of the side yard that your legislation was about, but was brought to us as a concern.
Well, I think the second one's addressed by the fact that it be currently licensed, isn't it?
And this one is. I asked that same question. You're exactly right. I asked, are the tires full? Does it move? And does it have a license on it? And the answer to all those, I believe, was yes, Mr. Aller?
That's correct, Mayor.
Yeah, I don't really know that we should discuss those particulars here, but this is a case where it met that criteria.
And it was just ugly. Well, they're all ugly.
The siding was deteriorating. The hatch up on the roof was being left open. The gentleman alleged that it was full of water and there was moldy inside. We have no way of knowing that.
Well, we have a general nuisance provision,
yes,
too.
We do.
I mean, the idea is that if it's currently licensed, that and operable, I mean, it's got to be...
It was operable because it moved and they mowed under it.
Well, if it's a nuisance, that's a different issue, but short of that... These are interesting, from a councilman's standpoint, you know...
It is very difficult to write ironclad rules, but...
Well, I understand, but...
His proposal to take away the right of anybody to store it in their yards was, I don't think, the right decision. You're going to get a chance to hear it at the public hearing, which we are proposing for May the 6th at 6:30 p.m.
Okay, how does this... I'll ask Mr. Ramon this question. With these types of recommendations, what is council's... I mean, obviously, we want to do the right thing, but what is our legal...
It's my recollection of our code that legislative changes to our zoning code can either come from city council, they also can initiate from the plan commission. I think that is in there.
It is.
But, yeah, so theoretically, we could act upon this as if this is proposed legislation and decide to do something on it if you wish.
Well, we referred... We had specific ordinance, which
Correct.
We refer to them for review and comment.
Correct.
Which they recommend approval of.
Which they recommend approval of. And then these are like additional comments
issue.
That we ought to
these
talk
are different
about.
Issues.
That's correct. Right.
Okay, so these aren't, so their approval isn't conditioned on this.
No, they're not.
Okay, that's right. Okay, good. And the public hearing is when? May 1?
May
6. May
6. May 6 at 6:30 p.m. I need a motion to set that public hearing date.
Second.
And moved and seconded to set May 6th at 6:30 p.m. as the public hearing date for proposed ordinance 24-2013. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And the clerk will advertise for that date. You also have in your council packets a second letter from the Secretary of the Planning Commission concerning proposed ordinance 25-2013. This is the change considering regulating the use of illuminated tubing. This was a simpler referral and just recommends approval of it, and there was nobody there at City Council or at the Planning Commission giving input on that one. And the administration recommends a public hearing be set for that the same night, May the 6th at 7 p.m.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded a public hearing be set and the clerk be authorized to advertise for May the 6th at 7 p.m. for proposed ordinance
25-2013. Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. That takes us to committee reports on agenda item 15. First was the Finance Committee. It's first on the agenda is the Finance Committee meeting, though not chronologically first, but let's do that one first, 6:45. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Finance Committee met this evening to look at the 2011 management letter. All members of the committee were present, Westfall, Hanum, Lutke, Milner, as well as other members of council, Husman, Capellini, Lutke, and you, of course, the mayor was present. Phil Sanford, Toby Schroyer, Kevin Aller, and Chief Rodas also were all present. Toby took some time to review the recommendations offered in the letter, and he provided an analysis and feedback on things that were in question, and we have, we will include that as part of our formal report. And basically, I think the committee felt comfortable with the recommendations that came from Toby, and we have requested that policies be prepared for review for cell phones, government vehicles and equipment, and credit cards usage, and we'll look forward to his making a recommendation back to us on that. In addition, we spoke earlier about the Maumee River wastewater plant that was discussed. Thank you.
Any further discussion? You did, during that finance committee meeting, recommend that a written policy be developed for the use of city cell phones, vehicles, and credit cards. I don't know whether you want to put that in the form of a motion or not. Mr. Mullen, what do you think? Seems appropriate to me.
So moved.
Second.
And moved and seconded. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And the administration will work on that with Mr. Schroyer in the lead. The second committee meeting held at this evening at 6:30 was the Employee and Community Relations Committee. Mr. Lukey.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. The Employee and Community Relations Committee met at 6:30. All council members and the mayor were present, along with Mr. Schroyer, Sanford, Chief, and Mr. Aller. The issue was to discuss the fate of the Country Journal newsletter, which has been published in Slovenia for some period of time. Previously, it was printed 5 times a year. It's now in the budget to be printed 4 times a year. The first one has been produced. It's really not at issue in this discussion. I think everybody agrees that the citizens enjoy and appreciate an annual report on when trash is going to be picked up and what the municipal calendar looks like. The cost of the Country Journal for the remaining 3 issues this year would be slightly over $10,000, about $3,500 an issue. The reason for the discussion was input that we had when we were actually considering the next steps on the city website, that perhaps the Country Journal mid-year version, the second through fourth issues were redundant to other ways that the city communicates, that we typically take the same content, put it in our local newspapers. We put it on the website. We use the flashing boards in downtown. And so the question becomes, in this digital age, whether we actually need to have a print publication 4 or 5 times a year. I would say that the committee pretty quickly agreed that many of those points were correct. It was suggested that we go to a 2-time-a-year schedule this year, which means one more in 2013, that the committee come back and take a look at that in the fourth quarter to determine what kind of input we've gotten. But the recommendation to council tonight would be to direct the administration to produce just one more Country Journal this year. I don't know, Mr. Moen, how we want to do that. Do we just need a motion, or do we need legislation?
No, this would be merely a motion.
Okay. And that was a motion in committee made by Ms. Capellini and Mr. Brown. So I would move that the council consider approving the recommendation to reduce the number of issues of the Country Journal this year from 4 to 2.
It's a motion, so I'd second that.
All right. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And as mentioned earlier, we will time that second issue of the year to be mid-year to give proper notice for the Erie Street and Monroe Street improvements so that the public can be made aware of those. Any additional committee reports to be made at this time? Hearing none. Agenda item 16 is committee referrals. We've already made a couple this evening. Are there any additional items to be referred to committee? Hearing none, we'll go on to added agenda item 17, which is an executive session. The executive session is to discuss the potential sale of real estate and to discuss the current status of litigation. When we go into executive session, we have to empty the council room, and I can tell you that most likely there will be no action taken when we come out. However, Mr. Hanem has added agenda item 18 to pass ordinance 2-2013 regarding changes to the sign code. That is possible, but I don't know that your teachers would require you to stay. We'll take a short recess to get this started in case anybody needs any signatures or anything else. The first, I need a motion and a second to go into committee of the whole executive session.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to go to executive session. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mrs. Capalini?
Yes.
Mr. Hanem?
Yes.
Mrs. Hussman?
Yes.
Mr. Lukey?
Yes.
Mr. Milner?
Yes.
Mrs. Westphal?
Yes.
Vote is 7-0. We will adjourn into committee of the whole executive session, but we're first going to take a 5 or 10 minute recess. If you don't stay, thank you for attending. Then move that seconded that we go out of executive session and committee the whole back to open session. The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mrs. Capalini?
Yes.
Mr. Hanem?
Yes.
Mrs. Hussman?
Yes.
Mr. Lukey?
Yes.
Mr. Milner?
Yes.
Mrs. Westphal?
Yes.
Vote is 7-0. Mr. Sanford will check and see if anybody is in the lobby. Okay, I can report that we are now out of executive session. During executive session, only items concerning the sale of real estate and litigation were discussed. We are now on to agenda item 18, which is ordinance 2-2013 concerning the sign code. Mr. Hanem.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. We have referred, or we have requested some additional guidance from the administration on the proposed amendment to the sign code. And I don't think we're prepared to consider it ordinance 2-2013 tonight, but I would like to add it to the agenda for our next meeting with the goal of having an up or down vote on that ordinance at that time.
That meeting scheduled for Monday, April the 1st at 7:30 p.m.
Right.
We're going to have not a full council.
It looks like we'll only be missing one member. We'll still have 6 members here, and it will take 5 members of council to change the code. All right. That brings us to the end of our agenda. Couple items on the information items you got. You probably noticed, if you didn't, you should notice the Direct Division of Taxation down 1.7% through February. I'm hoping that that's a timing issue. February 28th came on a Thursday, and I'm sure a lot of the reports were coming in on Friday. And if you notice from the report, there's also people coming in for a refund who are right on the spot for their refunds. So hopefully we'll see at the end of March where we're at. Also, Mr. Moan has already discussed the annexation hearing that's scheduled for May 21st at 1:30 p.m. down at the County Commissioner's meeting room in Government Center.
And there's no reason for any of us necessarily to attend that.
No, it's in fact, I anticipated being an affidavit filed annexation with no testimony.
I would anticipate a council trustee maybe being there.
That's okay. Yeah.
All right. Is there...
What did you say, Mr. Mayor? You'd anticipate what?
There could be a township trustee there that is opposed to this annexation.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting on Monday, April the 1st at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all.